Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Okay. We have been waiting to do this episode for quite some time. We were starstruck by a story of women who banded together to create, yes, a hosting company, a property management company, but it was separated by water, seas. We're going to go overseas into Europe, and these women live in the States. Get ready. But before we do that, we are, of course, going to share one of you, our loyal listeners, who's using our hashtag STR Share Sunday. If you're new to us, STR stands for short-term rental, and we share you on our Instagram on Sundays, but also here on the podcast. So Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we have Who You're With. And I love this because in their tagline on their Instagram, it says that the vacation rentals that remind you what matters most is who you're with. Aww. And I love that. And they actually have this painted in a mural in their space. A couple of things I want to talk about with who you're with. Starting to see this a lot. And I know as we're heading into to a new year, this is happening. People are really, really paying attention to those amenities, and life has changed. So this particular space, it's in Arizona. They've added a Peloton to their property because people are working from home, living from home, doing all the things at home, including working out from home. I noticed the Peloton was a big piece of something that was highlighted in all of their reviews. And they also cater to bachelorette parties, which is interesting. They have things, they had makeup bars set up. If you're not familiar, please take a look at their Instagram. It is multiple places within the home for people to get ready to either go out onto the town or for the day. I'm starting to see these pop up. And then also multiple places within the home that are Instagrammable. They have murals outside. They have murals inside. I just really looked at the space. And they know who their ideal client is. I think it is bachelorette parties, females coming to, or bachelorettes coming to the Scottsdale area. But man, they really nailed it. And I'm just starting to really see that people are taking like that, stepping it up that notch with the Pelotons, the makeup bars, the Instagrammable walls. If you want to take a deeper dive in that, please give them a follow and you'll get a taste for what they're doing and making sure that ideal client is not only booking their space, but enjoying their space. And oh, by the way, of course they have the heated pool and the outdoor space there, but very well done. And I'm excited to see how the next year, how their bookings are, you know, they're getting that ideal client. And I noticed in their reviews, and this might feed into today's episode, I noticed in the reviews, so many of the guests said, I am a hyper-vigilant planner. And so those people that are making like big-time plans and their planners, they're looking for all of those amenities. They're looking to make sure that space is going to be the space for that highlight reel trip that they're going on. And I know that our guest today is going to be able to talk to us a lot about, you know, really being that highlight reel trip for some people, their bucket list trip, their big trip that they're planning. So Sarah, let's get into it. Listeners, get out your paper and pen. I know there's going to be a ton of notes. And if not, Sarah and I are a little starstruck because we cannot believe what this group of sisters actually have built. So Sarah, without further ado, let's get into the episode.
Well, it's no surprise that managing properties, one, two, three, however many, it is a hard job. It is a hard job to anticipate the needs of guests, to take care of these properties when issues arise. Even if you do preventative maintenance, who knows what happens and when, right? And so a lot of people who hop into our DM, Annette, on Instagram ask us like, you know, if I want to do this from afar, how do I do that? And obviously it's obtainable, but this is the first time that we're going to talk to someone who lives in North America, but they're managing in Europe. And so the name of their company is, they have several, but it's vacationperfect.com. And it was started 20 years ago by three American sisters who had lived and traveled extensively in Europe, creating an offering that appeals to North American travelers and providing a wealth of sensible travel advice. I love that sensible word. And insights about each location. Vacation Perfect created the premier luxury brand, ParisPerfect.com, with the largest selection of luxury vacation rentals in Paris. And now there's Paris Perfect, there's Italy Perfect, and London Perfect. And I think there's another Perfect coming too, which we'll have our guest here confirm that. But today on the show, we have one of the sisters, Lisa Byrne, who's the general manager of VacationPerfect.com. She's been hosting travelers for over 20 years, and they have nailed the long distance management and hosting skill set. And we cannot wait to dive in. So Lisa, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Sarah and Annette. I'm so happy to be here today.
We cannot wait. And I want to, listeners, I want you to know a little something about Lisa because I don't know if she'll brag about it. But one thing from her bio, she was a director at Apple Computer, heading up Apple's corporate public relations and worldwide employee communications before launching the Italy Perfect brand. So I just want to let you know that I think I really want you to know that as we talk to Lisa, to all those listeners out there, if you're in a position now that maybe might not particularly be in short-term rentals or vacation rentals, that skill set is absolutely transferable. So Lisa, welcome to the show. Talk to us about being at Apple, about your sisters being involved in this. How the heck does this happen? And 20 years ago, listeners, I want you to understand that this is 20 years ago. So think about technology and where it wasn't 20 years ago.
It's hard to believe it's been 20 years, but that's right. I came out of a technology background. Of course, technology was different 20 years ago. And I spent my career in product management, starting at some startups, then Hewlett-Packard. And then I wound up at Apple and I moved through the communications arena and wound up as the director of some of their corporate relations, communications, public relations, employee communications. And I loved that. I loved my work at Apple. Every day was a new adventure. And then I left to become a PR consultant. So I worked with a lot of high-tech companies back in the 90s timeframe. And on the side, my sister, who was an investment banker, Maddie, was an investment banker in London. She was very busy doing her work in London, and she and her husband had a Paris, a apartment that she would just loan. She'd give the keys to friends, family, colleagues, anybody who wanted to borrow it. And then it occurred to her one day that there could actually be a business in this. So she came across a little website called Vacation Rentals by Owner, put up a listing. Well, in fact, prior to that, she was putting listings in magazines. In those days, you could list in magazines or alumni, like Harvard Business Review, Stanford Alumni Magazine. And that was the early days, but she early on discovered VRBO. I think the lowest listing number we have is like listing 4,000. Like we were the 4,000th listing ever. Wow. Sometimes we call for customer support to VRBO. They're like, do you really have that listing number? Yeah, we're like, yep, we're old. We've been at this a long time. So Madeline got started and she realized this was a business. So she started expanding Paris Perfect. I was doing PR for high-tech companies, and we were on a family vacation all together in Italy. And she said, you know, I think this could be a business for you too. I was born in Italy. We lived in Italy for a long time. I was born there. We all speak Italian. And so I just started a little side business. I had to keep my day job doing PR. And for 5 years, I worked nights and weekends to get a little website up, you know, got away. I had my husband help me set up a website, put listings on VRBO. And then another sister, Pat, who was a technology product manager in the publishing arena, joined because I was overwhelmed and getting busy. So the three of us kind of formed together. And a fourth sister was actually had moved to Paris and became our one of our managers on site in Paris. She has since retired, but so four of us worked together at one point, and then the business has grown from there to the point now we have about 300 properties that we represent across Paris, Italy, and London, and also Provence in the south of France.
Is that a hybrid? Do you still own some of those properties? Like,
we own a few in Paris.
Okay.
In the other cases, we are more an agent for the property. In Italy, we are agents for the property, although we have bought some in Italy in the past year that are in development now that'll be ready in late 2022. And London, same thing. We own a handful there, but in most cases, we represent on behalf of the owner, whether it's a local owner or in many cases, it's an expat owner who has bought the property as an investment for their own time that they want to spend abroad. You know, they may only be coming for a month a year. So they would like somebody to entrust that property to manage it for them and to handle all the rentals for them.
Listeners, you can't see us, but Sarah and I, if our brains had the wheels are spinning and smoke is coming off. So, but let's talk about this. There's four sisters. Let's take a minute. How is that working with your family? Because I know a lot of our listeners are thinking about doing this alongside
their partners,
whether they're partners or their siblings.
Yes.
Talk to us about that and how that unfurled and works.
It's actually, we are six sisters. We're six sisters who are only 8 years apart.
Oh, wow.
So we had an interesting upbringing. People used to think we were a girls' school. Our father was an Air Force officer. So we were all born all over the world. Pat was born in the Philippines. Madeline was born in Wisconsin. So we're six sisters, only 8 years apart. And we all took different paths. Our mom was a powerhouse. She was a military wife who was so smart and so organized. So she always said, you can do anything. You can be anything. You can do anything. So she really motivated us to say, go for it. So all of us had careers. And I think, you know, when we reached three or four of us, when we got into our 40s, sort of said, there's got to be more. We were raising kids, needing a little more flexibility. We all love travel, having growing up all over the world. And so Madeline was the one who was at the forefront of that, saying she's always been very entrepreneurial and encouraged the rest of us to join her. So four of us total, including Madeline, Maddie, have worked in the business together. At various times, we've had nieces, nephews. Someday there'll probably be grandkids who work. So when we were all in school together, we all went to a very small international school in Rome together, and they called us the Byrne Dynasty because we were the six Byrne girls, you know, one almost in every class. And now that our kids have grown, we have a nephew who works, you know, for Breezeway. My daughter works for Beyond Pricing. Others, one manages a Marriott hotel in Denver. She used to be one of our on-site managers in Paris. Her husband worked for us as a reservationist. So we have, and then we have an entire team of people that have, many have been with us for over 10 years who've been with us a really long time. But we have that nice family background and then the next generation coming up behind us as well.
Can you talk to me very quickly about a lot of our listeners and our Instagram friends will say, you know, when do I know it's time to take that leap and go all in on my short-term rental? And so you coming from a pretty prominent job, and I'm sure the feeling of security was there, and then to make this entrepreneurial leap into hosting and property management. What was that for you? Was it the love of your family and your sisters? Was it the love of the job? Was it just an adventure? Talk to me about that a little bit.
I totally went through that journey. So I had a great job. I had a long future potential career there, but I wasn't seeing my children as much as I would have liked. And I had that stress of like, oh my God, it's 6 o'clock and I'm in a meeting and the babysitter's going to leave, and calling my husband to say, can you be home in time? So I that was stressful. I did a lot of travel. I can remember one time when my son was about 4, I was doing a press conference for Apple, and my son was, they were watching, I was on the news, and my son said, there's mommy. And it made me so sad to think, you know, he's seeing me on a news, you know, in front of the TV camera for some controversial news thing that was happening. And so that was sad. The other thing though, is I always loved, we all loved travel, and having gotten to live abroad in our youth, I thought, you know, there's no reason I can't kind of have the best of both worlds. And Madeline, who married a Frenchman, sort of had that. They were raising their kids in London. They were going back and forth to Paris a lot. We were bringing our families over all the time for Christmases in London or Paris. So we all said, there's got to be a way to have the best of both worlds. But I didn't, as I had mentioned, I didn't do that suddenly. I mean, I had to a family to help support, and I, you know, needed to think about financially what was prudent. And I did it 5 years. It took me before I kind of did the numbers and thought, okay, I this is a business now. This, I could still do this. I can give up my day job, which was PR consulting. I think I had, you know, I had up to 15 clients. And so I knew about deadlines. I knew about being disciplined and working for myself, that, you know, I had to get the work done. And so I was very cautious about it. And it meant a lot of late nights after, you know, putting the kids to bed and then sitting down and working on the business or on weekends. And so I did it cautiously. And I really looked at the numbers to say, okay, what am I bringing in? And that was, in that time, I was the one starting up Italy. Madeline was doing Paris. I was doing Italy. And then in the last 2 years, we've merged all the companies together under one umbrella. And it was 2018. I became then the general manager of all three companies. And the reason for that was Maddie is really the visionary in terms of forward-looking, innovative ideas, property development, renovating properties. And I'm, as the general manager, there's almost no job in the company I haven't done. I've done every job. I've been a reservationist. You know, I've answered the phone. Sometimes you can pick up, and I'm the one who sometimes will take calls. I have gone out and scoured the countryside of Italy and Provence and cities to look for properties. I've met, negotiated with owners. I've done the payments to owners. I've handled refunds. I've worked on the website. I've written copy, and as has my sister Pat, and as has Madeline. So, becoming the general manager, it's allowed us to take a broader view on the business. It's allowed us to merge our brands under Vacation Perfect so that we could consolidate and have more streamlined operations, reservations, all of that. So it's been a slow process, and 20 years into it, it's what has helped us weather all the uncertainties of the travel industry that we've all experienced in the last year and a half.
Have you personally, have you ever lived in any of the cities where you you managed the vacation rentals during your time at Vacation Perfect?
I have. I've done extended stays. I mean, I grew up in Rome. So Rome to me, when I go to Rome, it's like my second home. In fact, I'm leaving for Rome in about a week. And probably by the time this airs, I will be with my family enjoying Christmas in Italy because we love going there because it's sort of like a second home for us. I do go, now that I have more flexibility, when my children, before they went off to college, I really didn't feel comfortable being gone more than about 10 days. And for anybody who has kids, you know that getting out of town is more stressful than, because you got to develop, you know, a schedule of who's got to be at soccer practice, who needs lunch that day. So I would be so happy when I get on that airplane to think, oh my God, I don't have to do this for 2 weeks of figuring out who's got to be where. Then I often will go and other family members will join me to be there for sometimes a couple months at a time to work and have more time to meet with property owners, to work on processes. Oftentimes we're redecorating apartments and I've got to go and oversee some of the work that we're doing to renovate an apartment or to complete an apartment that needs to be furnished, figuring some of that out, meeting with architects or a designer. So I'm there and I do get to do fun things. I never complain because parts of that are very glamorous. We often have wine at lunch there, something I don't do when I'm in the United States. But we also are working when we're there. And I have to make a point to say, oh, it's Saturday, I'm going to make an effort to go to an exhibit or go for a walk in an interesting neighborhood to check out something new and different. Because when I am there, we're working, but it's pretty fun. We really enjoy it a lot.
I have something. Okay, so do you help at all? It sounds like you're quite involved with the appearance of the property and creating that experience within the four walls for travelers and guests. How about the acquisition of property for owners? Does Vacation Perfect now help people buy in these European cities, or have they already purchased and then you take it from there?
It can be both. In some cases, an owner has already purchased and would like somebody to manage the property for them. In Italy, that's always the case. We work with owners who have a property. 99% of those owners are Italian. It's a family property and they're not living in it. It's a full-time vacation rental for them. In Paris, our model is slightly different. In some cases, it's somebody who's has an existing property, it's a rental, they would like us to rent it, or it's a part-time because of the rules for rental restrictions, as many cities have now. We have to abide by the rules on how many days a year a property can be rented out. So some of those properties have to fall within a limited number of nights per year that those can be rented. Those tend to be properties owned by French people because that's typically their primary residence. But more of our properties tend to be owned by expat owners who only spend a short time there. And those are properties typically that have the required license that allows us to be able to rent those out full time. It's a commercial license that designates that as a full time vacation rental. And a lot of those, I think over 40 of those, have come through our property development process where we found the property. In most cases, it would be my sister, Maddie. She's the most amazing shopper in the world and she knows how to shop. And the thing she knows how to buy is properties. She is really good at that. She knows the arrondissement, which are the different quarters in the neighborhoods in Paris. She knows real estate values. We have a wonderful team that works with her in Paris, our property team. We have two full-time people who do that. And they go out, look at properties, they scour the listings, they'll find something. And then we typically have a waiting list of people who say, if you ever hear of something, can you let us know? And we will work through a local realtor to help them acquire that property. And then through our person who does renovations for us. And we actually have a wonderful, they want decorating. We even have a person we work with, Ann Huff, who's out of Atlanta, who does a lot of our decor consulting for us. So that's been a very good market for us. And it stayed, in fact, really strong through COVID. A lot of people, I think, had a lot of time to dream about a different lifestyle and said, man, you know, I could work remotely. Why not have it be in a place I love? So we saw a big uptick in demand for properties that people could live in a month or two a year and have us manage it when they're not there.
Have you seen there be any sort of friction with North American travelers getting to their rental in Paris or London or anywhere in Europe? So yes, we can dream about it. Now we can work from there. Is getting there still an issue for your travelers?
Getting there is not an issue now. It was last year. And we did have property owners who really didn't get to go to their property for a year. That was really hard. And so I was there and I was in Paris in September for most of the month of September. And it was kind of a party because we probably had 10 or 12 different owner pairs sets who were all there saying, we're coming to Paris this month. So we had a lot of lunches and coffee meetings with owners who were there from all over the world who were back in Paris. The borders reopened earlier this year. I think it was in June. So now travel is possible. There are still some restrictions regarding testing requirements. There's currently no quarantine requirements, but it is more complicated. It does take more planning. And listening to your intro talking about the property in Arizona, that for people who like that, those are for people who are fanatic planners. The people who are really good at planning are comfortable with that because they make their checklist. They make sure they've gotten their COVID tests. They make sure they've got them, know what the mask requirements are. They make sure they've got their vaccine cards. So it is more complicated and requires somebody to be more organized, but we just saw a huge uptick in travelers starting with the late summer fall timeframe. And that's just continuing. And we're seeing that now for people planning ahead for 2022 as well.
So we just went to a conference in New Orleans and there was a session that was going over data for a lot of the vacation rental areas traditionally here in the States. And they're just seeing a huge uptick in revenue and occupancy. Is the same thing happening with your properties in Europe? Are you able to capitalize on this work from anywhere movement? And are you experiencing higher nightly rates and more demand than you were, 2018, 2019?
We have not yet caught up with 2018, 2019 yet for 2022. We are seeing more higher occupancy. We're a lot more full than we were. We were hesitant on the rates because typically our traveler, because most of our travelers are not from Europe. They tend to be, because our whole approach is how to make this really approachable and understandable. We understand all the questions and all the confusing things that can happen when you land in a foreign country, like you can't figure out how to make a phone call. What is the prefix you put in? And it's like, how do you get money from the ATM machine? It's not always obvious. How do you buzz the buzzer and the light well for the apartment building because it's on a timer and it goes off every 30 seconds? Those are things we don't take for granted. So our travelers tend to book, they tend to be from outside the US, outside Italy, sorry, Europe. Most are North American. A big chunk are really North American, US and Canada. We used to get a lot of travelers from Australia. We're not seeing that right now because of all the restrictions that Australians have faced. And a fair number from the Far East. Again, not a market that's active right now for travel. But we typically would see people booking 6 months ahead, even a year ahead. People who are using their frequent flyer miles would book on the day that they could book their miles. They book their airline tickets, whatever day those airline miles could be used, and then immediately they would come to us to book their accommodations. We're not seeing things quite that far ahead because people are more cautious now and are worried. And now with the news of last week with the new, while we're talking now, the new variant, we're all waiting to hear what could happen with any impact on that. So people are cautious. But we are seeing a big uptick because people, as you're seeing in all these other markets, they missed out on that wedding anniversary. They missed out on, somebody's graduation. They missed out on somebody's 50th birthday party. So people who missed out on those are ready to travel now. And many people had to postpone their reservations who canceled last year. They've postponed. So a lot of markets, particularly the villa market in Provence and in Italy, that has filled up way in advance because those big properties tend to book up often a year in advance because, you know, if you're coordinating 10 or 12 or 15 people's schedules, they need to figure that out well in advance. So those properties have gotten very, very booked up and are, for the peak dates, are very occupied for next year.
How do you, again, like having properties in multiple markets, like do you have, how do you differentiate yourself to your competitors? Is it just Vacation Perfect as a whole? Do you have, you know, how you want to run your business, or do you take it market by market specific on how you are going to appeal to potential clients? How do you get those customers to come to you over all of the other places, you know, all hotels that they could stay at, maybe feel mm-hmm. more comfortable there? How do you guys, what's the lens you look through to differentiate yourself?
What we look for are great properties in good locations. We don't take on a property unless we feel that we would want to stay in it. We're not a generic listing site. We don't want to be the biggest. We really don't. And we turn away properties that we just feel we can't bring enough business to that property owner. And it could be a lovely property. It could be right for somebody. But we know that our guest wants to be in a great location. They don't want to have to take a taxi or a bus ride a long distance. They tend to have a very healthy budget to spend. They want something nice. And they want certain amenities, things that we think about, particularly for the properties that we actually develop in, mostly that's in Paris and some in London. We try to think through things that are, could be annoyances in other vacation rentals. For example, we were early on, we insisted on putting in the largest possible water heaters, or then when flash water heaters came about where you have instant hot water, because for anybody who's traveled in Europe, you're probably used to taking a very cold shower because if the person ahead of you took a 15-minute shower, there's no hot water left in the water heater. Or in bathrooms, a lot of European bathrooms have no countertop space. We think about that. Is there countertop space so that you can set all your toiletries down? Are there enough hooks? Because oftentimes there's one hook on the back of the door and there's no other hooks in the bathroom. So we think about that. We think about furnishings. It's really interesting because, for example, having we personally worked in the Italy market a lot, I've looked at 1,000 Italy rentals and I can sort of tell from the photos, is this going to work? But oftentimes I can see, oh, this has potential and this owner just doesn't understand the market. And we'll often work with an owner to say, I love your property. I love the location. It's got everything we want. But would you work with me to upgrade the furnishings? And sometimes they're hesitant. They may not be able to really afford to do that right away. Or as a property manager, you have to prove yourself to them first. You need to bring them some income. They need to see some money coming in. So to convince them to spend money on a new sofa might be something. Initially, we're like, well, this was fine for us and it's always worked for us. And they may not be able to just dive right in and say, yep, we're going to do that. Some will, but some just need to build credibility with them first. And then over time, we will say, okay, this will help you get more bookings. Let me prove it to you. And we will say, you've got to get this new sofa. For example, in Italy, Italians hang out with their families around the dinner table. I mean, it's Italy. It's all about food. They sit around the table and that's where you hang out and chat and talk about your day. And we'll have to explain to people who may not have ever traveled to the United States or Canada, that's not how a traveler hangs out. They're not going to cook much at home. If they're in France or in Italy for 5 days or a week or even 2 weeks, they are going to go out to eat and they will probably just fix breakfast at home. And maybe if they've got kids, they'll throw pizza in the oven, ready-made frozen pizza, or they'll whip up something quick and easy. But they're really, for the most part, I'm not saying every single guest, but they're more looking for comfort. And so they will take a quick look at your property. They're going to flip through the first couple of photos that they can see. And they're going to want to say, can I take a nap on that sofa? And can I hang out there and look at the view? Can I look at a terrace and see something? And for us, having a key feature like a view or a terrace makes our hearts race. That's what we look for in properties. We can't always find those properties, but we know that's what people are looking for far more than an incredible kitchen mm-hmm. or a dining table, because in urban markets or even in the country villas that we work with, they're really not there to do heavy duty cooking. They're not coming for Thanksgiving dinner, for example. They're going to go out and eat. They're going to be sightseeing, or they're going to be hanging out by the swimming pool. So those are some of the things where we filter out properties from taking them onto our website when we don't think that they will be successful. In other cases, for example, in France, we've had such success with Paris that we got a lot of people saying, "Do you also have properties here? I had a great stay with you in this, I want now my kids to come. Now we'd like to go to Provence." So we're expanding in the Provence market because we see demand for that. We're expanding in London as well because travel has really come back for London. And that's such an easy market to travel to if you're an English-speaking traveler. So those are some of the things that differentiate us, where you don't have to wade through a lot of listings, because we've really vetted things and we have personally seen every single property we represent. We've looked at it. If it wasn't one we developed, we've gone, we've visited it. In many cases, we've actually stayed in it ourselves. So we can describe all the features in it, and we can personally, because we've test driven it, we can even give suggestions on things that an owner might want to do to improve it.
Lisa, you gave me another idea for a question. Is, you know, I kind of shared with you before we went live here that a lot of our listeners have one, two properties. They pour their heart and souls into them. And just like you, they start out by listing it on websites like Vrbo and Airbnb.com. But you do have your own booking websites, plural. Mm-hmm. When did you see the value in having, what kind of control do you see that's really wonderful for your business from, yes, leveraging those OTAs, those online travel agencies as tools, but having your own digital real estate to host your properties online?
That is so important. In fact, I had listened to one of your podcasts and where you were talking about that. If you don't have your own website, you are always going to be at the mercy of the OTA, you know, the online travel agency. We love the OTAs. We appreciate the fact that they've built this into a viable, credible business that travelers can trust. And there's somebody to back you up if something goes wrong and a listing isn't as represented or it's a scam. But if you don't have that, you can't control the narrative. And you also have so much more information you can share if you can make that personal connection with a guest. Because with some of the OTAs that somebody booking can't actually directly talk to you and ask, they can't speak to you on the phone until after they've booked. There's a lot of trepidation there. And sometimes the information they need to know the most is something they hadn't thought to ask. And if you actually get to talk to somebody and they don't read the listing, you know, we know that some of the data says people who flip through, you know, they get this fatigue. They look at two pages of listings on Airbnb or booking.com or VRBO, and it becomes a blur and they don't really remember what they saw, and they're not reading the words in the description. They're just looking at the photos and then they jump in and book. They might find out that what they booked wasn't what they thought because they got confused because they looked at so many, or they forgot to ask, were there any steps up to the bathtub? And grandma, who's 80 years old, needed to know that, and they didn't think about it. Or the listing probably says, for example, in our markets, so many markets are urban, is there an elevator? That's a key question. And that might not jump out at somebody who would assume, of course, there'd be an elevator. Well, in some of these ancient cities, there might not be an elevator. Or it might be, if it's a villa, it might be a drive on a dirt, you know, an unpaved road for 8 miles, and they hadn't thought about could they get the rental car up that. So if you have a direct website, people can pick up the phone, they can call you, they can send you a direct message, and or they can email you, and you can have a far more personal interaction with them. And the chances are they're more likely to book, and you're going to feel more comfortable with that guest mm-hmm. too, to make sure this property is the right fit for that customer. Exactly. So that they're happy. We all want the guest to be happy. No one likes a guest who's disappointed and realizes they booked something that isn't right for them. And when you can build your presence with your own website, you have that ability to grow your business with a more direct connection with the customer. And you have this opportunity to build future business with them. You start to build a brand that's your own identity versus the confusion of the thousands and thousands of listings out there that many of them are just incredible. And there's so many amazing hosts out there, but you get lost in a sea of competitors without having your own presence. So there's so many inexpensive ways and so many great tools to build your own website. I really encourage people to do that. We did that right off the bat. We had our own website from the very, very early days. They were rudimentary, but I think we put up Vrbo listings and within a month or two had our own website. So We've done that for a very long time. And most of our business does come direct. So on the other hand, during COVID, when our North American market wasn't coming to Europe, I'll tell you, Airbnb was an incredible venue for us to reach a new market at mm-hmm. deeply discounted prices last year when basically Europe was locked down right. and the only people traveling were local people. And that was, we took full advantage of the benefit of being on an important channel like that and getting a lot of business that we had never anticipated getting and reaching a whole new market mm-hmm. that's coming to us, which were, in this case, really French travelers and a lot of people who work and who needed to work, be in Paris for their jobs. So opera singer, well, we had an opera singer who had to cancel because his performance were canceled, but a famous opera singer, but people who needed to be in Europe for business. And that was a really great market for us. So you hedge your bets, be everywhere that makes sense for you to be in the channels.
You just mentioned, I love that. I want you to help our listeners with this because I think your loyalty, like even if you had the travelers last year that were from the OTAs, talk to us about what vacation, like what you do as a company for that loyalty. Because I have a feeling that I could probably go through your client list and there's some people that have stayed with you every year for 20 years, or the people that are just staying there last year who found you on an OTA are mm-hmm. now going to be loyal. How important is that to your company? What tactics do you have to make sure that you're getting that guest to come back and they become super loyal?
That has been a huge part of our marketing is we have a very loyal customer following. So a big percentage of our business does come from repeat travelers. We have people who have stayed with us 20 times, 10 times, 15 times. We had somebody a few months ago who came. They came on their honeymoon and they were bringing their son who was graduating from high school. Like they had come on their honeymoon 18 years ago. And so it was just like, oh my God, now they're coming back to with their son for his graduation. So we have that, building that type of rapport is so important to us. And it provides peace of mind to the guests too, because we're a known quantity. It's like, oh, I'm comfortable booking with them. I'm comfortable that they understand what I need. They see where I've stayed before. They know what I like. They know what I wouldn't like. I personally have told people, I've seen you stayed at this, this, and this, and I don't think you're going to like that apartment. I think this one's not for you. I think you need to think about these and that, because you sort of can sense what their taste is and what they like. But we do, we have people who often will come, for their anniversary. So we can see, oh, it's their anniversary. We'll make sure there's a bottle of champagne in the property for them. We are building that up. I have to say that's an area we actually could improve on. And we are working on more automated ways. We have not had as much automation in that as I would have liked. COVID put us back. That had been on the books to do that in 2020. And then 2020 for the European market really rolled into 2021. We didn't see the big rebound that the US market saw. So we were still in this wait and see mode until the summer. So we are going to be doing a lot more to do more promotions, but we have a very, very robust newsletter. We have been putting out, and we have an amazing blog. So that's another thing, is providing people with good information, building content on your website with blogs. That has been so valuable. We get so many people who say, oh my God, I came across your blog and It's giving me so much good information, how to get museum tickets, how to, when to come, how to plan your trip, how to rent a car, best cafes for their hot chocolate in Paris. So, and we have probably 15 years worth of blogs.
Wow.
So that gets us a lot of SEO, search engine optimization, because people type in keywords. And in fact, I was in Paris about 3 years ago. I got a day off and I wanted to go to Versailles. And it was sort of like, oh my God, it's Saturday. I could actually go do something fun. And I was thinking, oh, I myself needed to, you know, think about how to book tickets to Versailles. I did a search and guess what came up? Our blog on that.
Like,
we're the number one search result for that. We're the number one search result for if you look up how to shop the Paris antique flea market. So build content about your local area. And then our newsletter features the latest in our blogs each month, along with any other news tips. If we're having a last minute sale, we'll feature it in our newsletter. So we have a very large newsletter subscriber base. And we, now that our company is all under the Vacation Perfect brand, we can cross market to all of our markets. So that's been beneficial. And then the other point is, we talked a little bit before we started chatting formally today, but Instagram, that has been, we were kind of late to the Instagram game. We started maybe 4 years ago on Instagram, sort of unwillingly. I personally don't, I'm not an Instagrammer in myself. I'm just not that into it, but that has been a really good channel for us. And we have over 65,000 followers on our Paris Perfect Rentals Instagram. We have Paris Perfect Rentals, London Perfect Rentals, and then Italy Perfect on Instagram. And those have been a great venue for us. And I know you all have an incredible Instagram channel too, which is really fun to watch. So that's been another, that's, Instagram has been a good marketing vehicle for us.
Listeners, you just got basically in the last 10 minutes, a MBA, I feel like. Go to their website, sign up for their newsletter, watch what they do. And hopefully in turn, you just got thousands of new customers
yes.
that will stay with you. But listen to everything, like take notes. The Instagram handles that she just gave you, number one, grab your favorite drink and sit down, because you are going to get lost in the views and the things that happen there. But that was an MBA right there in vacation rental, hospitality, and business. Like listen to that part over. Go to everything that Lisa just gave you on their site. Look at their blogs. Look at their newsletters. Learn from, you know, people that have been doing this for, being the number one blog post that comes up is huge. So when you're creating content, remember, when it's on your digital real estate, like Sarah and I like to say, it's like that lives on, you know, that can get more power just as your physical real estate, you know, over time, you're gaining that equity. Same with your digital real estate. Do these things. They matter. Don't dismiss them. They are important. It might not be that quick hit viral thing, but over time, it will grow for you. It'd be very, very just an investment that you got to have that time behind it.
I don't want to dwell on it too much because that would be a whole other episode. And I do want to ask Lisa something that I think will help you listeners out too. But we also talked about with Lisa before we hit the record button, but it's not just any content, listeners. It is content that your potential guest wants to see, wants to consume. And you can tell because of, bounce rate on your website or engagement on your Instagram channel. So if you feel like you're stagnant, I'm sorry, but it's not the algorithm. It's your content, the consistency in which you are giving content out there. So, I mean, Nettie and I got lost in Paris Perfect handle and the Italy
handle.
We want
to hang out with Maddie. We want to go.
We know
to
all the
antique
characters at Vacation Perfect now. Yeah. Like, we want to be friends with all of. It just feels relatable, you know, because we are. I feel like we are very much. We care about the space. We care about the view. We are your traveler. My question, real quick, Lisa, is, when you get a guest from an OTA, what is an ethical way to then bring them to your direct booking site? Do you feel any guilt taking a guest that we found on Vrbo or Airbnb and then having them be a loyal subscriber?
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
To your newsletter?
We don't. You know, we really are pretty fine with however they're the most comfortable booking. And we never try to take a booking off. If they come through a channel, Airbnb, VRBO, that's where the booking's going to happen. We don't make any effort to try to say, hey, you know, you can maybe see the cheaper price. You know, you can get it for less if you book it with us direct. We're not going to do that. But if they've had a good experience and they've connected with our kind of our brand and who we are, they will find their way to us directly. We don't have to, and if they do the numbers too, you know, mm-hmm. they can see that, yeah, we're going to charge more because there's a fee there that Vrbo's charging us or Airbnb's charging us that we're going to pass along to the consumer. So some people do the math and figure that out. But many realize if they're coming back again, they will feel more comfortable working directly with us. Because first of all, they can find our properties. On VRBO or Airbnb, you're just going to find that one property. You're not going to see, oh, we have four other apartments in that neighborhood. That one you loved was booked that you stayed in last time. Well, hey, on our website, you can easily see these are our other apartments that are in that, you know, five minute radius or in the same region in the countryside. So when people realize that, they realize, oh, okay, I don't have to go through, you know, 20 pages of listings to try to find something that would be comparable. So I'd say people who are more experienced travelers figure that out. They learn, oh, I can do a reverse image search and find that same property, or I can search some of the keywords and figure out who they are. But there are the people who, if they're only going to come to our location once, chances are they're fine. They're going to book it through a channel and that's a one-time customer. But if they're repeat travelers and they're experienced travelers, they often figure out how to find us directly. But if they don't, Airbnb, I think, has a very loyal customer base. Good for them. Airbnb has built a great brand and their user features are easy to use from a traveler perspective and also actually from a property manager's perspective. I think it's an elegant design and it makes it easy for guests to book through Airbnb and use their app. We don't find that as convenient for us, but if that's how they want to book and they're convenient with that, we're absolutely fine with that. But we find that the majority of our guests do tend to book direct. And then once they've gotten signed up to our newsletter, and they're seeing our content, if they're thinking about booking again, that's an easy way so that they remember who we are. Because without that, to people who are listening, it becomes a blur and they don't necessarily remember the name of your company mm-hmm. because the vacation was 2-3 years ago. They can't quite recall. They can't find their receipts. And there's really no connection and they may just go into their VRBO account and they'll say, oh, that was that property we booked 3 years ago. And they don't really remember who they booked it with. Mm-hmm. So if you can create that ongoing connection via social media channels, newsletters, that will really help drive more direct traffic to you and allow you to build a lasting relationship with that client and maybe that client's kids who grow up and want to stay, or their friends, family, relatives that will also book with you.
I know our listeners want to know this because I know I do. We've just got to talk about this one more thing. You are so far away from your properties. Like, we get so many listeners that like, how do I remote host? I'm scared to remote host. And like, we're not talking like, you know, we know some people, maybe it's an hour away, it's 2 hours. Then they get to like, maybe a small flight away. But like, you really are overseas. Like how do you sleep at night? Do you have like when you were obviously you have a larger portfolio now, but it was smaller and you had one or two places. Like what was the key to make you be able to sleep at night and know that because these aren't just like, oh, maybe they're coming for one night. A lot of times these are those huge trips and you mm-hmm. want to make sure it's going to, how do you sleep?
Or were there sleepless nights at first?
Yeah.
You know, you figured it out.
Oh, there still are sleepless nights.
Okay.
What we do is we make sure that they understand that there's a local contact. There's always a local English speaking contact.
Okay.
And so we try to educate guests to read the information we send them that's really detailed, saying when you land, you need to call this person. And this person speaks English. And every one of our properties, you get an in-person greeter. You meet somebody in person.
Every single property.
We haven't yet.
So a check-in when they check in.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They meet a greeter.
Okay.
Because there are so many things that you would think are obvious. Like, okay, how hard is it to use a washing machine? You know, we've all done wash. How hard can that be? Well, in Europe, it's not always very easy because it's all these symbols and no two washing machines are the same. and you put your clothes in and you don't realize that that wash cycle is 2 hours, 2 hours. And, you know, you're wondering why are your clothes being held hostage in this washing machine. And there's nobody there to explain it to you that, the hot water gets heated inside the machine. So that takes 30 minutes for the water to heat up and then wash your clothes. And then when it finishes the cycle, it could be a 10 minute or 20 minute wait before the door has a safety lock and you try to force the door and you break the washing machine and then your clothes are stuck inside. That happens all the time. And people, when they're tired and they arrive, and even if you have the best guest book in the world, whether it's digital or written, we all know, and everybody, people don't read the guest book until there's an emergency. And so there are so many simple instructions that you just need, you know, 20, 30 minutes with a guest to say, you really need to know these key things. Mm-hmm. So we have things like key locks and European doors, man, they have serious locks on them. And if you lock yourself out, it's a big problem. It's a big, big problem. And helping them understand how important it is to understand how the locks work. I mentioned, I think earlier, that when you go into a stairwell in Europe, they have energy conservation measures and the lights are on a timer in pretty much every apartment building I've been in France or Italy, and they go off after 30 seconds. So if you're in the stairwell of a building and the lights go off, you have to know that with each landing, you got to repush that button to light your way. So those are all the things our greeters explain on arrival. And then they do simple things like, oh, you need to know where the grocery store is. You know, go out here, take a right, another right's around the corner. So that makes it really much easier for guests to get on the ground and figure out where they're going. We also have a great network of drivers we refer people to. Those drivers, many of them have been working with us for 10, 15 years. They know our properties, they know where they're located. And they, if the guest wants to organize and pay for a driver, will help in that process. And the driver can make it easier for them to get to the property so that they're not fumbling around trying to get on the subway or having a taxi that doesn't understand them and gets lost. Have I had sleepless nights? Yes. I have to sometimes train myself not to look at emails in the middle of the night. We are all in Europe a lot, but we're not doing as much the day-to-day greetings. We have a team. We have a good, great team of people who've been with us for 10, 15 years who do our cleanings and greetings and the property management. We have a full-time maintenance person in Paris who takes care of when things break, things need to be repaired or thermostat needs to be adjusted, who does that. And then the other properties where we are representing them, there is somebody there on the ground to help them. Should something go wrong, they have a phone number to call or an email if they need assistance. So that has helped us a lot. And that's what we've always done. If there's more ways to automate that, we're open to that and figure that out, because we know that the future traveler prefers to have a lot more information digitally. And where we can, we'll further automate some of the information. But having the relief that somebody gets there and just shows them a couple simple things, you sort of, you know, it's less stressful for them, for the guest, to be able to meet somebody and then know that that person is, they can call them if they have, they can't figure out, you know, how to turn the dishwasher on because the panel is in a different place than they've ever seen before. All the kind of questions, how to turn on the satellite on the TV. Again, every remote control in the world is sort of different. So they might need some help walking through how to do that. The reason why is because Maddie, Pat, we have an incredible team of local people who really are the ones who make things work successfully on the ground in each of our markets.
Listeners, I want you to take that and I want you to make it your own, right? Obviously, there's an extreme with, you know, you market to North American travelers in a totally different country with different everything. But at the same time, Annette and I preaches all the time is, I feel like we're so obsessed with automation, especially in this newfound, you know, Airbnb hosting business world, that we get lost in the fact that, right, but this all started because of human connection and being the ones that you travel with. And so I know in a lot of markets, like Palm Springs being one of them, you have to have someone who comes and meets you at the property.
It's required.
And at first it's like, oh, I got to meet with someone. But honestly, So my family, we speak Greek and we went to Greece right before COVID. And we booked a short-term rental and we had our greeter come, even though we know the language, it was still like, so really, I can just get to my vacation because this person is going to give me all the shortcuts. I don't have to go on my phone, figure out how to get on Wi-Fi, figure all these things out. And so listeners, maybe it's not showing up when they arrive. Maybe it's a phone call. We've started doing that with our vacation rental properties. Just calling them before they arrive. And oftentimes people don't answer the phone because they don't know the number. So you leave a voicemail and it's just that quick human connection that really just builds that. And I think the reason why, you know, you guys have so many repeat travelers is after they stay with you, after booking on a channel, is they got to know, like, and trust you, right? And so now they're okay because they don't feel like it's a scam booking off of the OTA. They know, like, and trust, they know that, you know, Italy Perfect is very well versed in the vacation business. And so anyway, it doesn't have to be literal, but I think that is such great advice, and to take it back a notch from this, all this like automation overload, and kind of get back to that human to human interaction in some way, shape or form to really help our guests get comfortable faster.
To your point, Sarah, yeah, a phone call. Even if you've got keyless entry, people love it. Property managers love it. There's such so many conveniences and cost savings to that too. So if that works for your market, which I know if we could do it in more of our markets, we would, but in many cases, the building restrictions don't allow us to put something, you know, the condominium association won't let us do it, but a phone call to the guest, even just after they check in, how's it going? Or in our case, because of our markets, that first day, they are in such a stupefied state of sleeplessness mm-hmm. that nothing much sinks in. And so oftentimes, if you can do that follow-up phone call, because the greeter can say, I know I explained how to use the washing machine, they really weren't listening, or, you know, they're exhausted and kids are running around the apartment, they're, everybody's like excited. It's hard to absorb all that information. I mean, I know personally, when I check into a vacation rental, I'm half listening half the time. And then I think, oh, what did she say? Or what did he say? Tell me about what I need to do. I always say I'm the test case for these because I do travel. When I travel in other markets, I'll stay in vacation rentals and I pick up best practices from some of those properties. And I learn about things that we could do differently. But having that human connection, whether it's over the phone, if it can be in person, if that's feasible in your markets, it really helps people feel comfortable. And also it protects your property too. Mm-hmm. They've met a person. We don't have an issue of party houses and spring break crowd in our markets because it's not.
It's a different traveler.
They're not going to come to Paris. Yeah, it's not Florida and spring break. But occasionally, you know, you get people who don't necessarily understand the cultural differences in their market, and it helps them understand a little bit better. Like, don't yell in the stairwell. These people, your neighbors might need to get up and go to work at 6 a.m. So if you're there on vacation, they may never have lived in an apartment before. They don't understand about apartment living. So the greeter can explain some of those things, and people who might not be familiar with that will be like, oh, okay, now I understand. Or elevators in Europe. Typically you have a double door situation that doesn't close automatically. And you have to make a point to remember to close those elevator doors when you come and go. Otherwise, the elevator's stuck on that floor. It's a simple thing. But if you forget and your poor lady neighbor upstairs is 70 years old and she had to walk up 6 flights of stairs because the elevator was stuck, it's like,
yes,
ooh.
Not happy
so
with the guest.
Those are things that guests are typically like, oh, I didn't realize that. That's so interesting. You know, and it's kind of a cultural thing that they learn that a greeter can explain to them and the reasons why, like such, you know, for example, because your neighbor is elderly and she really needs to relies on that elevator. And that's why it's important. It's just not, it's not an easy thing to remember if you're not used to remembering to close an elevator door. But if you make that connection that, oh, that's my neighbor, now I'll remember to do it. It helps if you've spoken to a local who understands the cultural differences and that can make more of a connection and a long-term relationship with your guest.
I
think that's a place to wrap it up because listeners, we didn't touch on it too much, but we did hear at the end is that it doesn't matter where in the world you are, it is our responsibility to be a good neighbor.
Yes.
And make sure somewhere along that interaction with your guest, they need to know that they are now neighbors with your neighbors. And so however that needs to take place, wherever you are, I think that needs to be a part of your communication before or during check-in is letting them know how important and meaningful your neighbors are. So we need to be responsible as we're hosting around the world that are, you know, putting our neighbors first there too. But this has been incredible. This will not be the last time you're on because...
Oh, thank you, Sarah.
If you'll come back because
your goals. She's hashtag goals.
Hashtag goals.
Whole sister, the whole Burn, what dynasty. Did you, the Burn dynasty, like, can you adopt
the
two more sisters?
Yes, Annette and Sarah are up for adoption and we're here for you guys.
Listeners, go follow. We will have all of the links to everywhere that you can follow along with the Burn dynasty and just, take what they're doing. Listen to this episode twice, but sign up
for
the newsletter.
Go stay with them.
Go give them some.
Come stay with us.
Yes.
Come stay with us. Yes.
For sure.
We would love to have you. And if you contact us and tell us, you're a fellow property manager, we will take good care of you. And I think you'll enjoy seeing how we do things. Many things you're going to find to be very familiar and many things kind of different because we're in these overseas markets where things have to be a little bit different, but it can be really fun and you'll have a great experience.
That's the thing. I think private management is actually quite creative. I think business ownership is a creative outlet. And so that's why it's so important to kind of get out of your own bubble of managing your property and go stay with others who are really passionate about their properties and enjoy and learn and grow and connect. And that's what's going to make the world go around. So Lisa, thank you so much again for your time and sharing your expertise. Annette, with that, I think we can sign off.
Yeah.
I am Sarah Kara Kane.
I'm Annette Grant. Together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us. It's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.